So if you look at that picture that I have put behind the slide, the background picture, I don't know how many of you know that picture of which mountain it is. I don't know if anyone who is geography crazy people, do you know that? What is that mountain is? Which mountain is that? I can give you a clue. It is in Himalaya. What is the name of that mountain? I can give you one more clue. It's in Tibet. No. No. K2 is in Pakistan. Yeah, I will break the suspense. It is called Mount Kailash, right? Mount Kailash is considered as the holy mountain for Hindus, people of Buddhism, Jainism, and other religions, mainly because this mountain is not easy to climb. And so they said this mountain is so difficult to climb, they consider it to be a holy mountain. And there's a lot of people that travel to Mount Kailash. Even our prime minister goes there in India. They think that it's so holy that if you go and touch the mountain, you get something, right? You will receive what you pray for, right? So people go there. So why I put that picture is, humans try to do a lot of things to save themselves. There are people who travel to Mecca, Medina. One of my colleague went recently. He went for 1 month to Saudi Arabia. He spent $10,000 per person for that trip, right? He and his wife went. So $20,000 spent to go to Mecca, Medina, and you heard people die over there because of the heat. Around 800 people got killed. Mountains, people go to mountains to climb and many people die. They think that they receive moksha by doing all these things. So humans, Bible clearly says, for not the hearers of the law are justified in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified, right? Hallelujah. 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 It's humanly impossible to obey God's commandments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Human-made ideas, people try to do it, right? Human-made ideas, people try to follow it like this, going to this mountain or going to Medina. But God's law, if you look at it, is very difficult to follow. And that's why God sent his own son, Jesus, to this human world so that he can save us. The name of Jesus, go to the next slide. The name Jesus, go to the previous one. The name Jesus, how many of you know the meaning of it? It's already there. The meaning of Jesus is Yahweh saves. What is the meaning of Yahweh? I am that I am, right? So Yahweh saves is the meaning of Jesus. Or another translation is Yahweh is salvation. Many people have different names. If you call here, a lot of people have different names. But do they live according to that name? This is a funny story. I'll just share this for you. One of my friends told me this. He was working in UK, and he had one new person joining his team from India, right? And especially from South India. So there's a guy is coming, and he tells to his UK client, the British client, he says, I have a new resource coming next week, and his name is John Kennedy. All right. So the British guy was surprised. There's a John Kennedy in South India? Right? John Kennedy is not a normal name in, you know, in Indian community. But a lot of the South, if you go to South India, they put a lot of fancy names like John Kennedy and things like that, where no relation to nobody. Kennedy family is not related to him, right? The famous John F. Kennedy in U.S. has no relation to the South Indian John Kennedy, right? There's a person who is a candidate from Democratic, he's independent. His name is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is the son of Robert F. Kennedy, who got assassinated in the 1960s. So Kennedy is a family line. And so people who are born in that family have the name Kennedy. And so this British man was surprised to see who is this man is. So when he came next week, this person, he says, here is the man who is John Kennedy. And he says, he's an oil, nice bald, oily hair, dark mustache, dark skin. And he says, this is John Kennedy. Right? And the British guy was saying, you're fooling me. I thought this guy was related to Kennedy. Right? So that's what it's just a joke to share to you that many times the name has no meaning at all to the person. Some people have name, Nimmadi. There's a person who had a name called Nimmadi. That means peace, right? But that person doesn't give peace at all to anybody in that home. Right? Nimmadi. Right? People have name. I call my daughter's name as Amita. Her Hebrew, it has two meanings. Sanskrit, it means boundless, Amidam, and in Hebrew, it is truth. Right? I expect that she turns out to be a truthful and a boundless person. That's why I named her Amita. Right? The same way, I call my son Andrew. It's a Greek name. It means brave, courageous, a man. I hope when he grows up, he becomes courageous and strong as Andrew, the name stands for. My name, to give you a history behind it, my father named me after the famous missionary from India. His name is Sadhu Sundar Singh. And so he called me Sunil Sundar Singh. There was a Singh actually, if you look at my pre-kindergarten name, records, you'll find my Singh at the end. And I used to wonder why there was a Singh. I was not related to any Singh at all. Right? Sunil Sundar Singh. And 1984 happened. How many of you know what happened in 1984? What happened in 1984? Right? Indira Gandhi got assassinated by Sikh people. People with last name Singh, right? My dad removed the Singh out of my name. Right? So that's how I ended up with Sunil Sundar, right? My brother's name is Sudish Robert. So you'll see, no relation at all, right? Sudish Robert. He's named after a famous evangelist from US. His name is Oral Robert. So my brother's name is Sudish Robert, right? But they'll say, you're Sudish Robert's brother? Yes. But your name is ending with Sundar? Yes. It happens, right? So why do people do that? They're inspired to give names so that they will turn out to be men of God. My dad wanted me to be somebody who is like a missionary, right? My dad wanted my elder brother to become like an evangelist, like Oral Roberts. So that's how people get inspired and write name. So, but when God gave his son the name, he called him Yahweh Saves, that means Jesus, so that he will save every human being on this earth. Hallelujah. There are a lot of people who with the name Jesus, but there was only one person who could save, and he was the Son of God himself. Hallelujah. 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 Why Jesus came to save us? Hallelujah. Let's move to the next two slides after that. Yeah. Because humans cannot save themselves by works. There is no way humans with their own effort can follow God or obey the commandments that God had given to them through Moses. The law was given, if you read Romans, you'll see the law was given so that to prove that none is righteous. The law was given to prove that all humans are sinners. Romans chapter 2 verse 13 talks about, 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So all humans have fallen. And so there's no way, even if I do any kind of good works, in God's point of view, you're still a sinner. You can never satisfy him. So God, in his mercy, he showed grace upon the humans by sending his son Jesus to live a sinless life as a human. And he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, for the atonement of for our sins. Hallelujah. And God made a way that now sinners have a way to become a child of God, back to God, through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Hallelujah. There is no other way. There's only one way, that is through Christ Jesus, you became right with God. That is called justification, right? Justification means right standing with God. So I throw some words over there called regeneration, justification, adoption. Regeneration means you are changed in our nature, right? God changed our nature through the water and through the Spirit. God changed our nature to be a born-again Christian, right? So that's regeneration. When you believe in Jesus, you are a born-again Christian through the water and through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Then you go through the justification. What happens? You have a right standing in God. Hallelujah. And third, you have adoption. That means you have a position. Your position is changed from a sinner to a child of God. Hallelujah. Your position is changed. And finally, we go through the process of sanctification. Hallelujah. So we are justified by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, 8 to 9 says, God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, much more than having now been justified by his blood. By his blood, he has made right with God. Hallelujah. Not by any of our works, but by the blood of Jesus. That's why we take the communion to remind ourselves the covenant, the new covenant that God gave to us through his son Jesus, through his blood, that now we are a child of God. Hallelujah. 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 So this salvation experience, can I give those who are born again Christians, those who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, this is for the young people. Just want to tell you, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you take the baptism in faith that you are no more a follower of this world, but now a follower of Christ. At the same time, he gives you the right to receive the Holy Spirit. And so when you call upon Jesus, he fills you with the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you the Holy Spirit, as Pastor has been preaching this for the last many months about the working of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the helper that God has given to each one of us. Right? Each one of us who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, he tells you what is the right way to go. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The old Pharisees, they had the law, but they couldn't follow it. But now God has given us his Holy Spirit who lives inside us, who tells us when you do a wrong thing, he tells us, see what the Bible says. Look at what the truth. He teaches us the truth to say this is the way you have to walk. And the Holy Spirit makes you in alignment with the will of God. Hallelujah. So that's how the born-again Christian. That's why we can follow Christ. We follow Christ not because of our own effort. We follow Christ because of the Holy Spirit that is given, who has been given to our lives, who is leading us, guiding us to follow the truth. Hallelujah. So now I'm coming back to the topic of the message. So faith in work, the last, if you read, faith manifests in good works. If you are saying that you are saved, show in your works. James, if you read in the book of James, he talks about it. If you are really saved, how do you know you are really saved? You have to show in your works. Hallelujah. By faith we are justified, but after that we live a righteous life which manifests through good works. Hallelujah. The big problem, move to the next slide. The big problem. Hallelujah. The big problem, if you look at that blue screen, how many of you have seen this blue screen? When your computer crashes, this is the screen you get, right? So this is Microsoft. This happened last week. How many of you heard of this, right? Windows crashed. Lot of systems crashed all across the world because something got updated, and this is what they got. Your PC ran into a problem and needs to restart, right? So this is the problem with every Christian is you have everything in you, you got everything installed, but what happened is it doesn't work. Faith doesn't work. Faith in God does not produce good works. So it is, Bible says it is dead. If you have faith, you say, I have faith, but you don't have any proof to show that you have faith, it is dead. As is as good as dead, Bible says. Hallelujah. So the biggest problem that is facing Christians is lack of evidence of good works. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, Paul writes this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Christ, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what is the power of God in this that works in the salvation of everyone? It changes you to live by faith, hallelujah, to produce the fruit of righteousness, right? God has called you to produce the fruit of righteousness, hallelujah, through faith. Not by our ability, but through faith alone, you can live a righteous life, hallelujah. So the righteous liveth by faith. Now I'm getting more closer into the topic. So how do we answer this? How do we live this righteous life by faith? Hallelujah. I'm going to take from Matthew chapter 8 three examples, and then I'm going to end the message. Matthew chapter 8, we know this story about a leper who comes to Jesus for a healing. He comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him and says, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So now if you look at this situation, the leper is coming to Jesus for a healing. He is a person who is ostracized, or he's an outcast in the community. He is considered unclean as per Jewish tradition. So he's unclean. Just like every one of us, when we were not without Christ, we were all unclean. That's why Jews never talked to the Gentiles, is because we were considered as unclean. But when we accepted Jesus as a Savior, he made us justified. He cleansed us with his blood, and now we are clean. Hallelujah. But what did Jesus tell to this leper when he got cleansed? He told him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. What does that mean? Be a testimony, show that you are really cleansed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are saved, you need to be a testimony of, your life should be a testimony for Christ. Hallelujah. If I say that I am saved, show me in your life that something has changed, right? If I used to live in sin and I am saved by Jesus, you should stay away from sin. Hallelujah. You can't continue to live a sinful life anymore. So Jesus is saying, do you have faith to believe that you can live a life that overcomes sin? Hallelujah. And the leper did exactly what commanded by Moses, and he went to the priest and he became a testimony. Do you have faith to be a testimony for Jesus? That's my first point. Do you have faith to show that you are a child of God? Hallelujah. Many times we are struggling to show that we are really Christians. Whenever we go to in the public area, we tend to be quiet. We don't want to show our faith in Christ Jesus, because you don't want to tell that you are a Christian, right? You need to be bold to say, I am a Christian. I follow Christ. Hallelujah. We should walk as children of light. There should be a difference between a child of God and a people of this world. There should be a difference. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about the sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. So what he's saying is, you need to be alert to show that you are a follower of Christ. Hallelujah. When situations come, you need to tell, I am a follower of Christ. You should never say, Today, you cover up your religion. You say, I am a Christian. I go to church. I study the Bible. You should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. If you are struggling with that, you need to have faith this morning. Hallelujah. You need to have faith to tell in front of others you are a Christian. Hallelujah. And also, you need to show through as children of light. You cannot. That's why many times, you know, in the olden, in the Pentecostal, why they say, oh, if you are a Pentecostal, you got to remove all these things, right? Stop watching movies. Stop going to, you know, places that you should not go. Stop, you know, what do you call? Remove them, what do you call? Jewels, right? Don't wear, you know, anything, makeup. And a lot of things are there. Why they forced it upon? Nowadays people are going back to they're breaking all those traditions. But what I'm saying, it became a tradition. But that is not what faith in God works. That is not good works. The good works is in your character. You need to show that you are a child of God. Hallelujah! Not just changing few things outside. If there is still your character hasn't changed, what's the point, right? Your character should be shown in real life, hallelujah, that you are really transformed by the blood of Jesus, hallelujah. Next, faith to obey God's word. This is a very powerful scenario, situation where you see a centurion come to him. He's pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Now there's a centurion, a Roman centurion comes to Jesus and say, my servant is paralyzed. He's unable to do any work. He's tormented. Lord, please come. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And centurion answered, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who follow, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such faith in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what message we learn from this incident? Hallelujah. I say faith to obey God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just talked about faith to be a testimony. Here, faith to obey God's word. Hallelujah. Do you have faith to obey God's word? Hallelujah. If you are a child of God, you should be obeying God's word. Hallelujah. 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 When you say honor your father and mother, you should be able to honor your father and mother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't tell lies. You should not tell lies. That's Bible, biblical. So you have to live a life according to God's commandment. Hallelujah. And centurion, here is what Jesus got marveled by centurion's words. Why did Jesus get marveled? Because the centurion gave an example. He said, when I tell my servant to do this, he does it. And when I tell to my soldier to go there, he goes. So my words, my human words, with that authority, when in my position, if I say that, I know that it will be done. But my authority is of no value if that person who is receiving the word is incapable of doing that work. Can I repeat that again? He understood one important fact here. His word, the power of his word is limited by the ability of that person who is receiving that word. For example, if I say my son to do something, he will not do some things because he is unable to understand what that means. Right? So he will disobey. So the servant that the centurion is coming to intercede for, he is paralyzed. He is incapable of doing any work. So whatever commandments that this guy tells him to do, he is unable to perform because he is paralyzed. But he heard there is a man called Jesus who can heal the paralyzed and make them obey God's word. Hallelujah. So he believed in that power of Jesus, and he comes to Jesus. Jesus, you say a word. More than my word, your word has power, and your word can make this lame man walk. This paralyzed man will walk. And so he explained that power of the words of Jesus. And when Jesus heard this, he was marveled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you trust blindly the word of God? Hallelujah. When you hear the word of God, your trust is strong in Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the words of Jesus, are you walking your life this morning? Hallelujah. If Jesus says, I do this, are you doing it? Hallelujah. Because if you pray that God help me to obey your word, Jesus will help you to walk according to your word. Hallelujah. That is the faith. That is the faith you need to have in this world. Hallelujah. There is no way you can live a holy life with your own ability. You need the word of God to strengthen you. Hallelujah. You need Jesus to speak to your body and say, Lord, you do it in my life. Hallelujah. You change me, Lord. You change my attitude. You change my mind. You change my character. And it will happen, because the Bible says, if anyone who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Do you believe that? Are you a new creation? If you don't believe it, you will never experience the new life in God, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you believe that you're a new creation? Hallelujah. If you are a new creation, if you believe that word, you will become a child of God. You will see changes happening in your life. Hallelujah. Finally, I want to say, do you believe that you can serve God at all times? The next one. Hallelujah. Finally, there is an incident that happens right after that, when Jesus goes to Peter's house. And he sees his mother-in-law lying sick with fever. And so Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. Hallelujah. 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 The funny thing here in this incident is Peter didn't even care that his mother-in-law was sick. He just came and he said, Jesus will take care of it, right? So, but Jesus healed her so that she can serve them. In those days, I think the mother-in-law serves the people, right? So what happens is, you see here, Peter comes in Peter's house. Jesus is healing the mother-in-law, and when she is in fever, the fever leaves her and she wakes up and serves them. So what is this faith here? The faith to serve God at all times, no matter what situation is in your life right now. Hallelujah. God can change that situation so that you can serve him. Hallelujah. At that moment. Hallelujah. If you put faith in Jesus, he will give you the strength to accomplish his purpose in your life. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Jesus is able to strengthen you this morning to do what he wants you to do in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6, 9-10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says, I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Paul is telling from his experience, I know how to live in poverty, how to live in abundance. But in all things, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. He understood one valuable truth, that through Christ, I can do all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear young people, hallelujah. You might be struggling in certain areas in your life this morning. Hallelujah. Do you trust in Jesus? Hallelujah. Do you trust in Jesus? Hallelujah. He is able to solve your problem. Hallelujah. Make you a testimony. Hallelujah. Make you to obey his word and make you to serve him at all times. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In conclusion, I want to say this and close. Hallelujah. Never give up. Hallelujah. Never give up. And Jesus talks about a story in Luke chapter 18. Hallelujah. I don't want to read whole thing, but I'll just let you paraphrase it. So there was, Jesus said this parable to tell everybody that you need to pray and never give up. Hallelujah. Prayer is the key for a Christian to live a life of victory. Hallelujah. Without prayer, you can never have victory and live a righteous life. Hallelujah. The reason why Christians are failing is because they don't have a prayer life. Hallelujah. Many Christians don't pray. Hallelujah. And they don't know how to pray. They pray for things that they don't really need. We need to pray for the things that we just talked about. The person who applied his faith. They all ask for the things that God liked to do. And if you are praying for these things in your daily life, your faith will work. Hallelujah. The three things I would encourage the young people to pray about. You need to pray, God, let me walk as a child of the light. Hallelujah. Lord, help me to be a light in my school, oh God, in my college, oh God, in my workplace, oh God. Give me the strength to walk in the light, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Second thing you need to pray for is, Lord, help me be obedient to your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Strengthen me with your word, oh God. Give me grace to follow your word, oh Master. And when you pray that, God will give you the strength to obey his word. Hallelujah. It takes time. That's why Jesus gave the story about that persistent widow who, there was a judge who did not fear God and nor regard man. So there was a judge who never feared anybody. But this widow had a problem and she needed justice. And what she did, she went every day bothering him, every day saying, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. And finally, this justice, who was a hard-hearted man, he said, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will give her justice, lest be my continual coming, so that I can stop getting bothered by her every day. So the people of this world, if you torture them daily, they will give you what you want. And Jesus is saying, if you pray like that to the Heavenly Father who does good things to those who call upon him, hallelujah, how much more he will give you what you ask for. Hallelujah. Hear what the judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect? Will he not answer your prayers, those who call according to his purpose? Hallelujah. Will he not answer the prayer of those who are longing to follow his ways? Hallelujah. Will he not answer the prayer of those who are seeking to be righteous? Hallelujah. Jesus said the greatest command, hallelujah, is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallelujah. And everything will be added to you. Hallelujah. If your prayer is to be a righteous person in your daily life, God will answer that. And everything else, God will take care of it. Hallelujah. Finally, serve him faithfully. God, ask God, Lord, help me to serve you in some capacity. Help me to serve you, and God will open the door for you. Hallelujah. So trust, the key is, the last slide, trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. And endure, run the race. Olympics is going on. It started in Paris. I heard like there was a lot of controversy on the, I didn't watch anything of it. But the race, if you, the famous of the Olympics is the athletics, right? When they go to the last 100 meters, 400 meters, and then I like the one that is called marathon. The marathon is how many kilometers? 46. 42, right. 42 kilometers you have to run. I heard this insight from somebody recently. The difference between a marathon runner and a fast runner is the marathon runner has to give up, make his body train himself so much that it forgets that there is pain. Right? So he's training his body so that when pain comes, he's controlled. So he's saying, I ignore that pain. He's ignoring that pain until the body itself gives up. And there is a time period where he's just moving. The body is just moving. It doesn't matter whether he's having pain or not. The body just responds and starts running the entire mile. Hallelujah. So endurance is something that happens only when you sit at the feet of God. Hallelujah. How does endurance come? Your righteousness doesn't come in one day. You need to spend time in his presence every day. Hallelujah. There's a famous saying, Rome was not built in a day. Everything takes time. And the same way, to be a follower of Christ, you need to spend time in his presence daily. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me close with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. Therefore, since we are surrounded by great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus wants you to be a winner this morning. Hallelujah. Each and every one, God is cheering you this morning to finish the race. Hallelujah. Because he is the one who started the faith and he will help you finish it. So trust in Jesus. May the Lord bless you with these words. Hallelujah. Amen.